Judge Serb is not sitting on this particular case. Justice Miller Lerman has rejoined the court or joined the court this morning. So she is with us. And the next case of the day then is Ryan versus State of Nebraska. Mr. Edmonds, good morning to you. And I believe Mr. Ryan is going to join us by Zoom, and we are working on that at this moment. Mr. Ryan, can you hear us and see us?
Yes.
And it is my understanding that you do not want to put on a spoken presentation this morning. Is that correct?
Yes.
Very good, then. We are going to let Mr. Edmonds from the Attorney General's office then make his presentation. So, Mr. Edwards, Edmonds, apologize. You may approach and you may proceed. And Mr. Ryan, you are just going to visually watch what's going on in the courtroom. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Ryan. And Mr. Edmonds, you may proceed.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, my name is Christian Edmonds, and I am here on behalf of the state. This case is an outlier, and it's a situation the state, quite honestly, is not used to being in. However, as officers of the court, it is our duty to bring forward arguments that we can only make in good faith. While in most instances, courts can sua sponte dismiss cases. However, this is not one of them. Here, the district court found that Mr. Ryan failed to state a claim because sovereign immunity barred his cause of action. We believe that that is not the proper standard or review. The standard should have been frivolousness. And under that standard, the court or the state cannot argue in good faith that Mr. Ryan's claims are barred. Let's take a look at the order. The order, the district court,
you can't argue that they're frivolous. You're not saying that sovereign immunity does or does not apply.
Correct, Your Honor. We're saying that the standard should be frivolousness. And if a sovereign immunity exception does apply, then it is frivolous. That it's just in this instance, under 81-8219, subsection 2, that doesn't apply here under this standard. So looking at that subsection, the sovereign immunity exception applies when goods or merchandise are detained by law enforcement officers. Here, however, in paragraph 5, Mr. Ryan stated in his complaint that inmates stole his goods, not correctional officers or law enforcement officers. Although exceptions to sovereign immunity should be applied broadly, at this stage and under this standard, they should only, Mr. Ryan's claims should only be dismissed if they are frivolous. A frivolous position is one that is wholly without merit. That means it is without rational argument or based in the law or the evidence. At this point, the state cannot argue that Mr. Ryan's claims are wholly without merit based on the information that was before the district court at the time of dismissal.
Since the district court brought this motion sua sponte, what is our standard review?
Standard review is de novo, Your Honor.
What could the court have considered?
Excuse me, Your Honor.
Dismissing the case, what should the court have considered?
Sure. The thing that the court should have considered is what was on the face of the complaint. And the reason this is an interesting situation, and that was what I was just about to get into, where the state is not arguing that if there is a statute on point or precedent on point or sovereign immunity on point, that the case can't be dismissed under their frivolousness standard. This is an oddity because we're dealing with regulations. And Mr. Ryan stated in his complaint in paragraph 4 and paragraph 12 that there were negligent acts of prison guards and that there was a duty to investigate for stolen goods and a duty to lock up cells.
So I beg your pardon. So is that the claim?
Yes, correct. That is what he says in the facts of his complaint.
He doesn't have a claim that other inmates stole his possessions.
His claim under the Tort Claim Act, yes, is that there was a duty to investigate. Your Honor.
State actors had a duty to,
yes,
investigate.
That's correct.
Right? Is that what claims are?
That's what his claim is that there's a duty to investigate.
No, that's an answer to a different question. The question is, what is a claim?
The claim is that
under the definition of claim in the Tort act?
To be quite honest, the complaint is rather vague. He doesn't necessarily come out and state outright what the claim is under the Tort Claims
Act. Does he want money or does he?
He wants damages. Yes.
He wants damages. Yes. And his claim is that state actors did something that's a tort.
That's correct. Okay. Yes, that's correct.
Must claims be against state actors?
In this instance, yes, they must be.
Generally under the definition of claim in the Tort Claim Act.
Yes, they should.
Can you bring a claim against an ordinary citizen, not a state actor?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you.
You cannot. So as I was saying, this is an odd situation because we're dealing with regulations.
So what's the tort that's being alleged?
The tort is that there was a failure to investigate what was going on. And the reason there was no way for us to affirm on alternative grounds because that requires regulations to be looked at. And there are no regulations in the record. And as the court knows, these regulations cannot be given judicial notice if they're not already in the record.
If this court were to reverse the district court's decision, what does the state believe is the procedural status of the case once it goes back to
the
district court?
The case should be reversed and remanded, and and the proper standards should be applied for dismissals during the IFP stage.
My question goes more to what happens next once it gets back to trial.
What happens next is the case moves forward. The state, I'm not on the civil team, but I can imagine that a motion to dismiss will be brought and arguments will be heard at that stage, Your Honor. And so because
I'm a little unclear about the claim here, is he claiming the value of the goods that he lost, or is it some kind of mental anguish, and how does one measure that?
Your Honor, that is somewhat unclear from the face of the complaint. We have no record other than the complaint and the IFP application. He is claiming damages and he is claiming mental anguish, but he's saying that there was a duty to inspect. Because we don't have the regulations in the record, we can't make a determination of if there was a duty or if there was not. Now, I do believe that if we move forward to a motion to dismiss stage, since Mr. Ryan has brought forward that there is some duty, I think there could be a appendage to the motion to dismiss of a affidavit saying there wasn't a duty, or if there was a duty, it didn't apply here. I think that's how we could move forward.
You said something that perplexed me just a little bit, and that is that we can't consider any applicable regulations?
Well, they're not in the record, Your Honor.
Does that make a difference? And if so, why? Isn't there a statute that says any court may consider regulations?
Well, in our instance, for us making an argument, we did not have them before us. And because a court can't sua sponte review regulations, we did not see that we could bring those forward for alternative grounds to affirm.
I guess court can't take judicial notice.
That's correct.
Of regulations?
That's correct, Your Honor. In Nevels v. State and Donahue v. Nebraska Liquor Commission, that's what's stated.
Isn't there a statutory amendment since that time?
I'm not aware of one, Your Honor.
All right.
So moving forward, we would argue that because the case should be dismissed or should not have been dismissed at this stage, then the determination is what was the proper standard for reviewing the IFP application.
But let me back up for just a second. Assume for the moment that the state's argument is incorrect insofar as it argues that we can't look at regulations. Are there regulations out there that would be pertinent if we were permitted to look?
Your Honor, we are not aware of regulations that that show there is a duty to inspect for stolen goods. We're not aware of a regulation.
Do you mean duty to investigate?
Investigate. I'm sorry. Wrong word there. Yes, Your Honor. So if we move to what the standard is for reviewing IFP application, we see that the district court used a standard of failure to state a claim. Nebraska courts have been very clear that the standard that is applicable is a frivolousness standard. So that was the wrong standard. If we apply, as we said earlier, that the merits of the claim are not frivolous at this point, then the standard of the case should have moved forward and informal pauper status should have been accepted. And if the court has no further questions, we ask that the case be reversed and remanded.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ryan, do you want to respond at all in to what you heard today?
Oh, no.
Very good, then. That will conclude arguments today in Ryan versus State of Nebraska. And Mr. Ryan, thank you for appearing by Zoom. And Mr. Edmonds, thank you for being here in person. And you are both excused, and the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is Paxton versus Paxton.